Chapter 3, The First Poem. Henry was able to go back to Portland Academy in the fall, even though he didn't do much racing and running. As he grew older, he grew quieter. He liked books, and he liked to read. His writing improved each season until he could send letters to his father that were clear and interesting. His schoolwork began to include Latin and Greek and algebra, but Henry Longfellow found that he liked poetry best, and he liked to memorize poetry. He learned whole songs by heart when the family gathered around the piano and sang. By the time he was 12, his mother allowed him to wander down to the Portland docks whenever school was out. The sailors from all over the world told him tales of ships, pirate ships, ghost ships, tales of storms at sea, and shipwrecks. He watched many a ship built right there in Portland Harbor, watched the beam laid, watched the skeleton fashioned of Maine timber, watched the mast swung into place, jumped up and down and shouted for joy with the rest of the crowd when the great ship slid down into the water. The stories of ships and of sailors, the stories of lands far away, the stories of Grandfather Wadsworth's Indians, all began to jingle and dance in his imagination. Sometimes they made patterns or fitted the tunes he sang and the poems he memorized. Henry Longfellow began to keep a copybook of his favorite poems. Into the copybook crept verses and jingles, rhymes and lines that he made up himself. He was becoming shy, and he kept his copybook a secret from almost everyone but his mother and his sister Anne. Anne was 9, old enough to understand, when Henry was 14. Henry felt closer to her than to Stephen or Betsy. Stephen liked rougher play, and he didn't care for poetry. Betsy cared more about helping her mother with the younger children. There were 8 Longfellow children in all, 4 boys and 4 girls. There were plenty of books in the Longfellow home. Many of them contained poems that thrilled and excited Henry as he hunted through volume after volume. Often when his father was at home, he helped Henry find his way among all those volumes. He would pull one down from a top shelf and say, "Here is a book that every educated man should know about." Henry's ability to write was winning him honors at school, and his father was glad. But Mr. Longfellow didn't suspect that his son was dreaming about being a writer. Mr. Longfellow would not have approved of that. Mrs. Longfellow was sympathetic, though, and Henry could confide all his dreams to her. She encouraged him, looked over his themes, helped him with new words, and read with him. "What fun it would be," Henry thought, "if I didn't have to do anything but write and dream and write some more." Henry wondered whether he should show his copybook to his grandfather Wadsworth that summer. He wasn't sure. When he reached his grandfather's house, he changed his mind. "Tell me the story of Lovell's Pond again," he said to his grandfather instead. Grandfather laughed and stroked his beard. "You should know it by heart after all this time," he said. Henry wanted to hear it again. He had a secret reason. Not even his sister Anne knew why Henry wanted to hear the tale again. "Well," Grandfather Wadsworth began, "not far from this farm there's a pond called Lovell's Pond. It is named for a brave man, Captain John Lovell, who died with his men in a terrible battle with the Indians." The Longfellow children crept closer, all except Stephen, who announced he was too old for children's stories. But the younger brothers and sisters hadn't heard it too often, and to the youngest, the story was brand new. "There were 46 volunteers," Grandfather went on, "nearly 100 years ago, combing these Maine woods for Indians. Well, right there at Lovell's Pond, they met a big band of Indians, and on that very spot, they fought a terrible battle. Henry's imagination filled in all the gaps in the story. The painted faces of the Indians, the tomahawks, the war whoops and yells echoing through the forests. Slain warriors, slain volunteers. As soon as he was alone, he began to try out words on paper. How quiet it was in the forest now. Could there ever have been a battle here? Henry Longfellow wrote, "The war whoop is still, and the savage's yell has sunk into silence along the wild dell." That was a poem. That was really a poem. I wonder, Henry dreamed with new excitement, if I could ever be a real poet someday. He worked hard on the rest of his poem about the Battle of Lovell's Pond, and when it was finished, he kept it hidden in his copybook. How could he tell whether it was a real poem or not? If he showed it to his mother, she would praise him. If he showed it to his teachers, they would praise him. He decided not to show it to his father. "Can you keep a secret?" he confided to his sister Anne. Anne could always keep Henry's secrets. "I've written a poem," he told her. "Oh, Henry, let me see it. Please let me see it." He showed her the precious work, and after she had read it, she gazed at her wonderful brother. "I think it's good, Henry. I think it's very good." "Promise me you'll never tell anybody," he warned her. "I'll never tell. You know I'll never tell." When the family returned to Portland in the fall, and all the Longfellow children who were old enough were back in school, Henry still thought about his poem. If somebody read it, who didn't know that he had written it, and if that somebody thought it was really a poem, then he could be sure. He had a plan. He knew how he would find out whether his poem was a poem. He copied it on a fresh piece of paper, but when it came to signing his name, his heart sank. All he could write was Henry. After supper, when it was growing dark, when all the shops and offices were closed, Henry walked quietly away from the house on Congress Street until he came to Exchange Street. He knew where he was going. This was the great test. He reached the printing shop of the town newspaper, the Portland Gazette. No one was around. Quickly, he slipped his poem into the letterbox, then bolted up the street and home. "Anne, Anne," he whispered to his sister, "I did it. I gave my poem to the Gazette. Do you think they will print it? Do you think they will?" The brother and sister waited breathlessly and secretly for the Gazette that came out only twice a week. The next issue arrived at the house on Friday. Mr. Longfellow looked at the paper first. He sat down in his favorite chair and read slowly while Henry and Anne watched him with big eyes, page after page, and not a word did he say. At last he laid down the paper and left the room. Anne and Henry pounced upon it, turning the pages quickly to find Henry's poem. There it was. It had been published. It was a poem, really. They lay on their stomachs on the floor and read and read and read The Battle of Lovell's Pond. Cold, cold is the north wind and rude is the blast that sweeps like a hurricane loudly and fast. As it moans through the tall waving pines, lone and drear, sighs a requiem sad o'er the warrior's bier. The war whoop is still, and the savage's yell has sunk into silence along the wild dell. The din of the battle, the tumult is o'er, and the war clarion's voice is now heard no more. The warriors that fought for their country and bled have sunk to their rest. The damp earth is their bed. No stone tells the place where their ashes repose, nor points out the spot from the graces of their foes. They died in their glory, surrounded by fame, and victory's loud trump their death did proclaim. They are dead, but they live in each patriot's breast, and their names are engraven on honor's bright crest. I'm going to be a poet, Henry assured Anne. Just you wait and see. That evening, Henry went visiting at the house of his friend, Frederick Mellon. He didn't tell Frederick about the poem in the Gazette, but he did listen hopefully for any comment from the members of Frederick's family. By the way, said Mr. Mellon as they sat around talking, did you notice the poem in the Gazette today? Henry's heart skipped a beat. I think, Frederick's father went on, that it was stiff, and every word of it was borrowed from other poems. The whole world went dark for Henry Longfellow, and he didn't say another word for the rest of the evening. On the way home, he walked along in the dark, under the big elm trees that lined the streets of Portland, depressed and discouraged. He did tell Anne when he got home, making sure no one else could hear. I know how you feel, Henry, she said. He said it was borrowed from other poems. I think it was a good poem, Anne said. If it wasn't a good poem, why would the newspaper print it? Henry was too crushed to think about it. He just went straight to his room and closed the door. When he was finally in bed, he buried his face in his pillow and cried until he fell asleep.